All right, here we go. Catherine was just calling me an idiot.
We were testing the microphones and he said, well, I just hate to hear the sound of my own voice.
I turned myself down because I don't like the way I speak. And so it's an insecurity that I have. So I was feeling vulnerable.
Am I supposed to feel bad for you?
Can I finish?
Okay.
I was already feeling a little upset, a little vulnerable. And fellas, maybe you've experienced this in your relationship where you feel a little bit emotional, you know, and you go to your partner for some support. And because we live in like a toxically masculine society, or like, and then like women have internalized toxic masculinity too. So they'll look at you and they'll say, I see you as a protector. I see you as somebody that's supposed to, you know, be aggressive. You can feel the emotion and anger, but if you ever feel any kind of insecurity, that is a turnoff to me. So she calls me a little bitch. And
I said you were an idiot because you
started. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go
you
ahead. You have the floor now.
You started a podcast. Your insecurity is that you hate the sound of your own voice. And I said, well, good job starting a podcast,
I started a podcast,
idiot,
to provide for you
no.
and the family.
Good
and
job doing that also.
Well, I'm just feeling a little bit vulnerable and I apologize. I guess that's
a
feminine trait. And
do better.
I'm not allowed.
Having a shitty voice is a feminine trait. I don't think you have a shitty voice.
I do. I don't have a shitty voice. I just have mush mouth. I was listening to an old episode because that article was written about... I keep saying article. It was like a fucking...
It's a newsletter, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, hey, listen to this episode. It's funny. So I listened to it and I was like, ew.
Ew!
But I power through for you.
I do think that's normal. I will make fun of you, but I think most people can't stand the sound of their own voice. You shouldn't. If you like the sound of your own voice, you're
some
weird.
People sound cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a real, it's a positive thing if you're a comic and you got like a Big J or
yeah.
I don't know who else has like a real soothing.
I don't know. I know there are lots of people. I'm very jealous of people with like a good smooth voice because I think you're already over a huge hurdle. I think people already are inclined to listen to you and like you before they even decipher what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not fair. Right. I think I've got an uphill battle because I'm like, hi, what
are
you
guys?
Oh,
fuck off. I don't want it. I don't even want to do this.
You don't?
I don't even want it.
Wow. So
dude,
we start with your vulnerability. Your vulnerability and you complaining about
no,
your
this
voice.
Is bullshit.
But now
this gotta be,
you're going back and yelling at me.
There's got to be some term for this, you know, by like the Instagram feminist community,
okay,
where it's where you express an insecurity that you have, and then somebody mirrors it and then goes, "Oh, actually, I feel that way.
Actually, I feel that more than you, so I'm actually the more insecure one."
I have noticed I do
toxic being a bitch.
Toxic-ness. I'm sorry. I have toxic being a bitch.
My boyfriend says I have toxic being a bitch syndrome.
And it's hard. I have noticed I do that to you a lot.
No, but I'm joking. But
because
the reason I was shitting on you is because something will go up on Reddit and everybody's like, oh, Kat has the coolest voice in the world.
They
she
say
has the sexy
because they're all horny as hell.
Yeah, well, I don't fucking get
that
shit. Nobody's sitting on the speaker and fucking, you know, vibrating their clit when I'm
you don't know that.
Telling some nasally
ladies,
story about bullshit.
Ladies, write in and tell Ian how sexy his voice is.
Yeah.
And then give me your address. Ooh, if you haven't already.
I love a good
so
Michigan
I can
accent.
Fucking kill you.
I love a good alcoholic fucking bullshit brain can't think of a word type of
man,
guy.
Your self-loathing is at an all-time
dude,
high.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that. Thank you for saying that because somebody called me a fucking narcissist today.
Ooh.
And it was so wrong that I couldn't even... Like,
oh, I know who.
I couldn't even get mad about it. I was just like... I was like, it's like you called me Chinese, man. Like, okay, I think you got the wrong guy, but
yeah.
Sure. It was... I'm in this group chat with a bunch of asshole dude comedians, and I threw out the... a buddy Remy texted me the narcissist test, narcissistic whatever.
Yeah, personality disorder.
Yeah, so yeah. We all took the test, and I scored extremely low, obviously. If there could be like a self-loathing category,
yeah,
I would hit it. And one of the guys in the group was like, I would have guessed Ian and Matt would have scored the highest. And then Matt and I had to like start a separate chat to be like, what the fuck does this guy, like, as if there was anybody that hated themselves more
on
the face of the earth, I have not met them.
They're just like women. Bunch of catty old hens.
What? Whatever. How is that like women?
I don't know.
Women, you guys love themselves. It's, they're obligated to these days.
Yeah, you have to. I have this like knee-jerk reaction to defend you because I'm your girlfriend, and I really just want to be like, well, they're just jealous because you're so great.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. But like, Matt got like, he was like, ah, oh, fucking, that's bullshit. Like I said, I was like, well, that's, I mean, sure. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Well, that's like, I've never been accused of being a fan of myself.
Well, ever. We've talked about this before on the podcast. Self-loathing, if done very performatively, can be a form of narcissism, I think.
Right,
if you're
for
thinking,
sure.
Even if you really do hate yourself, you genuinely do, if you're just ruminating on yourself the whole time and that's like your biggest focus, that's
right.
Still narcissism, right?
Yes and no. I'm reading this book about narcissism, which I understand every eighth word.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of these, I do this thing where I'm like, okay, I just read a fiction book. Now I'm going to read like a smart person book.
Yeah.
And then you start to read it and you go, I am not a smart person.
Oh, I can't
also
do that.
I'm not in college. Why am I doing this to myself?
You can't do the audiobook version of
that. The last book was about vampires. You
can't.
You know what I mean? And now I'm like, looking up words and shit.
At the very least, you have to just read it physically so that you can.
Oh, I would never. Reread. I would never. Yeah, I do audiobooks because I can't.
I hate it when people say that. You can. You do.
I don't want to. All right, there's that.
Okay,
I don't fucking want to.
All right, fine.
You know
that's, I mean, that's more accurate.
Like, I like listening to audiobooks. It's like a pleasurable experience for me.
Yeah.
Sitting down and staring at the written word is not.
Yeah.
I get drowsy. I open my phone. I do that thing where you're like, how many pages do I have left?
Oh, I can't read a book. I've noticed, like, psychologically, I can blow through an 1,000-page book if the chapters are, like, 2 pages long. Like, I could just go, okay, I got done.
Yeah.
One chapter. Two, these, like, mile markers for me. But if each chapter is 50, 60 pages, I won't read it. I can't do it. Because,
right.
I mean, I have a kind of, a weird OCD. I can't stop unless I finish a chapter. But also, it could take me an hour or 2 fucking hours to read a chapter because I'm a really slow reader because my mind just wanders. I'm
same.
Staring
that's
at the ceiling
saying.
Thinking, what's the capital of Micronesia?
Right.
Why? It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but I do really like listening to people talk. So if like I listened to Dune, I don't know, in like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then I saw Dune at the like bookstore and I was like, that's what I, no fucking way I would have picked that up.
Yeah.
If it was like presented to me, like you're reading The Stand right now. And every time I see that, I'm like, you can go fuck yourself.
It but hurts to lift it from the floor into bed. It's
right.
So fucking heavy.
Well, that speaks to how weak you are, but I mean, I probably will.
Babe, can you come in here? Can you pick my book up?
Can you turn the page? My finger broke turning this page. But I probably will eventually end up listening to it and really enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the exact... I wonder if... There definitely is a difference, though, I think, in the way that you absorb and experience a book. An audio version versus your mind is the narrator. I think it can influence when you listen to The Stand. I overheard Salem's Lot,
right?
I overheard the narrator, like the inflection he chooses to use for certain quotations and things like that influences, even if it's just slight, the way that you experience the book versus the way you would have if you were reading it yourself.
Yeah, but when I'm doing it myself, I always feel like I'm doing a bad job.
Well, that's your goddamn self-loathing again.
Yes and no. I mean, it's the mind wandering and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's really just like I don't want to admit this, but I'm a product of the times. I used to read a book a week on the subway.
Yeah.
When I had a flip phone, you know? But now that's not the case. And there's boobs on the internet. And you just look at them.
I wish this is
a tip for anybody out there.
Man, we were watching America's Next Top Model last week, and I was staring at Tyra's giant jugs, and I was like, have you ever seen what she looks like topless? Or like, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can find pictures of her boobs on the internet, and you were immediately like, you can't. I've gone down this rabbit hole. I was like...
Oh, yeah, if there's anybody... Pick a celebrity, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Did you, the fappening, Jennifer Lawrence fappening?
Yeah.
You saw?
Yeah. I happened to be on
you
vacation.
Happened to stumble?
No, no, okay, no. Sorry. I was on vacation on, I want to say like, it was like Rockaway Beach or Fire Island or something. And I woke up and Daisy and all, like Erica and all those girls were like, look what fucking happened. Over there. So it wasn't even, it wasn't
like
even
Christmas morning.
Me, I didn't even do it. I mean, I went home and re-looked, sure.
We all remember where we were when Jennifer Lawrence's tits. No, I didn't. I actually didn't see any of that. I remember the articles about it, and I assumed it had all been confiscated from the cloud or whatever point.
Yeah. That's why every time Apple is like, hey, upload everything you have to the cloud, it's fine. You're going to be all right. It's like, that's not true.
There's no way.
They're going to get to it eventually, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about narcissism. Narcissism?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
We were talking about
a
lot of things.
Many cocktails.
Yeah, you keep complaining like, oh, I hate myself. I have a mush mouth. I'm like, you've had over a pint of whiskey.
I haven't had a pint of whiskey every time we've done this show, Catherine.
Okay. Well,
okay? My insecurities are valid.
Fine.
And my emotions are valid.
I'm trying to
just
make you
because
feel
I'm
a little
man
better.
Doesn't mean... Well, you're having... toxic positivity right
okay
now.
So I went from it toxic being a bitch syndrome to toxic positivity.
You can have more than one thing going
okay
on.
Okay, I'm waffling. I'm sorry.
One of the things they were saying was
in the book.
Yeah.
The culture of narcissism, right?
Right. Well, I'm not that far in, but they were talking about self-deprecation, which is different, I think, than self-loathing. Now, I'm no Nanette. I'm okay not saying that self-deprecation is funny.
My favorite thing about you.
Oh, thank you.
Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and
insulting
I steal
somehow
a kiss.
This is mean in some way.
Because you're not Hannah Gadsby. No. I'm being sincere, but also obviously
you
joking
know, she hates self-deprecation because she thinks it's, I forget. I don't know.
It's, I think, a Philistine philosophy to just what say self-deprecation is being mean to yourself, and you shouldn't be mean to yourself because being mean is bad. And
right
it's like, you could learn a lot from self-deprecation.
This book would have you believe that, like, it's a form, it's a symptom of narcissism.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, track how that's true. I kind of get it. It's like, If I'm like a real handsome guy and I'm like, oh,
yes.
I know what you guys are thinking, like, well, this guy's probably a douchebag, but you know, I'm just like you or whatever.
This
like
is a fun example.
Yeah. It just popped in my head. It's nobody specific. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a way to ingratiate people to you.
Okay,
it's
so you're trying like, to get, you don't actually believe this about yourself, you're
right
trying to get ahead of what you think other people's perceptions of you are.
Right, because you like worship, you like
yeah
people to like, it's another way to trick
yeah
people into loving you. And
yeah, any kind of tap dance you can do to ingratiate yourself.
Right, and be the star of the show. And that's not to say that self-deprecation, defecation, shitting your own pants is not funny. I mean,
self-defecation is the funniest.
Right.
It's the ultimate form of comedy.
Yeah, you know, with that diaper and everything you got going on. But like, no, self-deprecation
yeah
is funny.
Yes.
That's weird because it's a weird thing when you're listening to this book, which is how I do it.
Yes.
Because you're like, oh, well, fuck, like comedy's a whole... It's all wrapped up in narcissism and shit, you know?
Right. Well, I think you get a pass, right? So self-deprecation in a regular social setting is to ingratiate yourself. And it might be a little bit of a, like almost a con because people don't know exactly because
right
you're not totally being sincere. But you get a pass in comedy because you're a performer. You're on stage.
And
there's
you're trying
already
to con these people.
We're suspending disbelief a little bit. Every story you tell is supposed to be exaggerated. It doesn't have to be 100% true.
Sure, but you're
and
all,
it's
you're
extra all funny to make fun of yourself. I hate the idea of you shouldn't punch up or you shouldn't punch down. Punch out anywhere you want. But there really is no victim in my mind if you're self-deprecating because you're just punching yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Hannah Gadsby would say, don't punch yourself. But I say do it because it's funny and it
right.
makes
don't
me laugh.
Don't punch yourself if you're gay. Then it's illegal or something. But to your point, though, like performing is a con. Manipulating people
yeah.
into laughing.
And the audience
is a con.
Already knows that.
Right. So to take the rules of the stage and use them in your own life.
Yeah,
is,
that's sneaky.
Right.
I've done it at work a little bit. I mean, I think it's harmless enough, but if we're pitching ideas, I will often, not often, I rarely even do this, but if I have a good idea, I will often say something like, this is stupid, this isn't even that good, but what about this? And then people will be like, no, that's really good. You're couching it. You know, like, is that
yeah,
that's
yeah,
self-deprecation,
because
right?
People are like, humble and smart.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what you're doing. It's a tool.
Yeah, it's like a social tool to
right.
ingratiate yourself. Sometimes I really do. There have been at least one moment where I thought something I was pitching was dog shit and people really liked it. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's something to look out for. It's weird because the symptoms of narcissism, which I think are things that we've noticed in our community or with people you know, that we're acquaintances with for a long time that have that don't sit right with us, but we haven't been able to like explain why they are so irritating.
Yeah.
Like this, the constant like self-help shit, the radical
yeah.
self-love we've been, you know, railing against since this podcast started, and this, you know, this idea of I don't know, just thinking about who you are and working on yourself constantly. It is a rejection of community and I don't know.
Radical self-love is so abhorrent to me. It's literally watching somebody masturbate. It's like somebody jerking off in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do that elsewhere. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. I don't know.
The therapy too. The
yeah.
like always going in and talking about how you're doing and like what you can do to improve yourself. And there's never any thought put into what other people in your life are thinking or doing, or how you can be selfless, or how you can maybe sacrifice some of your emotions at this moment to benefit somebody else. And as a society, that's what we've been doing lately. And we're just churning out narcissists, you know?
Yeah. I read a long Facebook post yesterday by somebody I went to high school with.
Oh, can I, before you say this, because
yeah.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
One of the things they talk about in the book is this deterioration between the private life and the public life.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Where there was a time where you could, I guess probably before cell phones, where you could go up to people at the bank or at a restaurant or something
mm-hmm.
and or on a bench in a park and strike up a conversation. This was commonplace.
Yeah.
And you would have a solid, nice, good conversation that wouldn't dig deep. And now all of that's gone. So everything is very emotional and you're talking about who you are as a person, like in your core.
Yeah, and your
with
trauma.
Everybody. Yeah.
And I can't, I know I'm not in the majority here because this is all over every form of social media that I'm on, but this like overindulging about your relationships and the trauma you've gone through in the past year and how it, just like masturbatory it is, and then at the end, bringing it back to how they all did it for you. They're like, if this story could just help one person.
Right.
If this story about how my boyfriend cheated on me and his new girlfriend is a fucking whore could help one person. That is almost verbatim. The post I
yeah,
read to
you read
last night. She's like, I just want
to
help other people. No, you don't.
Long fucking like paragraphs and paragraphs about like, and I woke up today and I decided to look at his profile and it turns out that he's been dating this woman for 2 years
yeah,
and
before
I didn't even
we
know
broke
about
up,
it.
Yeah.
So I had an emotional breakdown, and if this could help one fucking retard.
And like, fine. I mean, who am I to say that's wrong when everyone is uplifting that? People who do that get so much positive reinforcement. How many comments were under that post saying, good for you. You're so beautiful.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
He doesn't deserve you. What's her address? I'll kill her. Like stuff like that. I don't know. It makes me want to just like cover my eyes like I'm watching a car crash.
Yeah. The sense of community that past generations had, or maybe even we had, that we can't remember anymore, was completely different. And another thing they said in this book was like, we think of friendships as adversarial. Like you go into your therapist and they talk to you about boundaries and you go over how like somebody has wronged you and nobody sees the other people in their lives as allies anymore. It's always like competition and, you know, toxicity and
right?
stuff like that.
Everyone is just throwing this term toxic at each other. What I perceive to be mostly well-meaning people. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Do you believe that most people are well-meaning? I'm not even saying good to their core, but like well-meaning in their day-to-day interactions.
I can't speak for most people, but I think when somebody goes to Instagram to talk about toxicity or Twitter, their motives are completely suspect.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They're not talking about the things that are really happening in their lives. They're looking for confirmation that they're a good person, whether or not they are. Have you ever spoken to somebody who's behaving poorly, but they just like are begging you to tell them it's okay?
Yes,
it's like, but
constantly.
You know, because
yeah, and then when you tell them what is the right thing to do, they're like, yeah,
and
but
their brain malfunctions.
I guess what I'm saying, well-meaning is a really vague term. I mean, people out in the real world, I think, are well-meaning, but when we all turn solitary into our phones and talk about ourselves and our self-love, I think that's where we get really, like, all those people, I do think they're there to attack you, even when they're like, guys, I just want you to be better, but here's what we can do. Like, you're being hateful. You're being...
Right.
This is so non-specific. I'm thinking of people, like, during the election who were like, this demographic of people needs to put in the work. I'll let you guess which one. Right. But, like... You know, coming from your richest white friends is like, cool, great. You're just hateful and trying to like skirt the blame a little bit, like shift it onto somebody else. Like, yeah. I'm actually a good one and I'm doing the work and you guys need to do better. There's a lot. Right. That's where the scolding comes from, I think.
Yeah, it's more narcissism. It's like self-deprecation in that it works as a way to signal to people that, like, I'm cool, right, guys? Like, I'm really cool. Like, would you say that I'm, like, the coolest?
Yeah.
Would you say that I'm, like, the best person you've ever met in your life and awesome?
Right, because...
if you give me my likes, I'll know that to be the case.
We will never go back to civil rights activism or any kind of activism, for that matter, like it existed in the 60s or... take your pick what era before social media, because social media exists as an extension of you to perform for other people. Mm-hmm. Like you're on a stage yelling whatever your chant is at whatever rally you want to go to.
And then there's a competition to come up with a new idea to champion. So
yeah.
Then that's when you get these like goofy, toxic positivity concepts or have you. Or
yeah, it's all people competing with each other for, like, to outwoke everybody else and to be the best person they can be for likes, not for actual human change.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, we talked about this last week, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to...
Okay, all right. Yeah, moral of the story is... Instagram is for your dogs and your tits, and...
Hey, better not be.
What?
You keep your tits off Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
That's why they're not on there.
You gotta sign up for the OnlyFans.
Because I'm not allowed to, but everyone else, you have your freedom, so good for you.
Yeah, and send me your tits.
No, that's not fair. If I'm not allowed to put my tits on the internet, you're not allowed to look at other people's tits.
No, that's not true. You know that's not true.
Then I'm putting my tits on the internet.
Do you even want to put your tits
on
the internet?
No, I just want to make you mad.
Just order me some falafel.
No.
Falafel.
Oh, man. What do we talk about for
Do you remember
another?
When Bill O'Reilly got busted for, like, calling that woman and trying to sexually harass her, and he wanted to talk about taking a shower with her? There's a great recording on the internet. And he means to say loofah, but he keeps saying falafel. So he's like, I'm going to lube up your fucking hot tits with a falafel.
Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah.
How do you mix up those two words?
You're a piece of shit. You're
it's
an idiot.
It's like the same letters, but not nearly close in pronunciation.
I can't wait till that guy dies. Oh, I cannot wait. I'm gonna take a week off work and drive to his grave and take a hot, steamy shit on it. I used to work for that piece of shit. I mean, he stinks. Take my word for it. He's the worst.
Oh, I do. You know, being reminded of Bill O'Reilly makes me think that all these people we, like, get so worked up about on Instagram, these, like, girls who do yoga and talk down to you about toxic positivity or whatever, they seem so sweet in comparison. We're like, oh.
Yeah, well, it's because we don't fucking know Bill O'Reilly, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, if you were in my life.
That's like some true uncut evil.
Yeah, that's like just like the most hateful you could possibly be.
Satanic shit.
Yeah.
Know?
And that's coming from Satanists.
We were watching something and John Voight was, I guess John Voight made a video where he said that Trump won the election.
Yeah, you said Satan stole the election.
Yeah, Joe Biden and Satanists want Joe Biden to be the president is great.
Yeah, we're going to send him a picture of our cards from the Temple
right.
of Satan.
Do you want to talk about fucking how we watch Mystic River or something?
Yeah, why don't we talk about how we watch Mystic River or something? I didn't care for that film.
It stunk.
It's stupid.
I'm sorry, everyone who's ever lived who loves that movie, yeah. but like...
I don't know if you guys have this problem, but every one of our friends is obsessed with Mystic
no,
River.
No, everybody in the world.
They really recommend
Especially like
it.
White dudes.
Like a hard recommend. I remember my parents coming home from seeing Mystic River. I don't know why this sticks out in my memory, but I remember they came home from like a date night and had seen Mystic River and they like talked to us about it. They're like, oh, Catherine. Oh, it was so good. It was so powerful.
Huh.
I mean, and maybe now in retrospect.
It's of its time, you know?
Yeah. I think what does that mean though? That some... Like, good movies existed back then, and you can compare, even if you were to compare only movies that existed before 2004, or whenever that movie came out,
yeah.
It still stinks. The Fine. Story sucks, the acting sucks.
I'm trying.
I'm so tired of seeing an ensemble cast of Hollywood stars who've never been to Boston in their lives doing this, like, half-baked Boston accent. Like,
yeah.
I would prefer you just didn't do it. How about you do like a non-regional kind of...
Here's the thing. You probably know more than I do, being from the East Coast, so I can't really spot when... I mean, when people do a Boston accent perfectly, I'm like, so that character's retarded? Or like, I don't... When Ben Affleck does it, which I assume he's doing a good job because he's from Boston.
Right. I guess I really can't. I'm from Philly, so I can't really speak to the Boston. Like, I can't be a purist and be like, that's right, that's not right. I listen, you know that mascot, that new Sam Adams mascot? He's like,
yeah,
I'm your cousin from Boston. I don't know. That sounds like a terrible Boston accent to me. It sounds wrong. But I don't know. I can't say. Maybe that guy is from Boston.
I watch Good Will Hunting and I'm like, this is like goofy as shit. So I don't
with
know.
With the accents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They
I can't tell.
Ridiculous. But these are bad. Like Laura Linney, Lawrence Fishburne, Kevin Bacon, even Sean Penn. Like
they're all supposed to like, it's supposed to be not Lawrence Fishburne, but like they're supposed to be three guys who grew up together and they all have wildly different accents.
Yeah.
I do know that. Like
yeah.
I can tell that much.
They're talking very differently. I thought that Tim Robbins actually was great. I thought he did a good
his
job.
His accent? Well, he was
no.
more like a subdued, like, I got molested type
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah, his
Look
I
at
got...
my shoes, shuffle around.
I got molested character was pretty good. really seemed molested. I don't know if Tim Robbins got molested.
He got molested
for
movie.
For the role.
Yeah.
If he asked someone to molest
him. To chain him to a radiator.
But he did such a good job at having been molested. So good for Tim Robbins. Everyone else stinks. But
yeah.
And I think Laura Linney is a great actress. I think she's really, really good. Ozark, like, she's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The accent thing. Just don't, right. If you can't do it, don't do it.
She bugs me in Ozark sometimes, honestly.
But isn't that a testament to her acting? Like,
maybe.
Her character is really annoying.
Maybe.
But there is this sort of Laura Linney-ness that permeates every character where it's like, you seem no fun. You seem like you would shut a party down at 10 o'clock and
but Laura
make Linney everyone
is
take
barely
their
in,
shoes off.
Mystic River.
Yeah. So I guess we should explain the plot so we can explain all the problems we have with it. Okay. So it starts off with three little boys who are playing outside. They lose their ball. And I swear, I promise you, I'm not going to go through the whole movie word for word. But they lose their ball in the gutter and then they stumble across some wet cement.
Yeah.
And they all start taking a stick and carving their names into the wet cement. This car pulls up. This really intimidating old man hovers over them, screams at
you
them.
You are describing a lot.
But this... Okay.
You are describing
every
second.
I'm getting
second.
Stressed out that I have to describe it. I don't know how to do a brief summary.
A kid gets abducted. The other two kids grow up. The one kid's all fucked up because he was molested for a bunch of days. He got, like... tied up in a basement, but one of them turns out to be a cop. Anyway, long story
short.
Wait.
Yeah, there's this like butterfly effect thing with all of them where they don't, where they have to like each one of them. One was abducted and molested, but the other two live the rest of their lives sort of thinking.
Describe the molestation.
What if it was me? Well, I would, but they didn't show it, which
guess.
No. But anyway, so one becomes a cop, the other becomes a criminal, and the other becomes a fucking mess on account of all the molesting that happened while he was abducted. But it haunts all of them in different ways. Like, what if it had been me? What would my life have been? Anyway, you were taking it away from there.
Well, what we had a problem with was, like, the Sean Penn character ends up killing the molested guy because he thinks that guy killed his daughter, but that wasn't the case, right? So we're kind of led to believe that that's what happened too in the movie. And then the twist, I guess if you can call it that, is that these two kids killed his daughter. And it's like, okay, so it wasn't a pedophile guy. That's crazy. He knifed his friend, and his friend was just kind of a broken human being. That's why he was behaving in such a strange way. But what the fuck is with these? Why did these two kids kill this woman? And they're like, oh, they were fucking around with a gun. They were fucking around with a gun. Yeah, they shot her, and then she lived for a little while, and then she ran into the woods, so they beat her to death with a hockey stick.
These two children who've never...
The charming boys that have been in this whole movie? Seems like you added this, like, at the zero hour here. This, like, the thing that actually happened, you know?
Yeah, it's almost
because
like...
It's supposed to be heartbreaking and, like, you know, shocking that this wasn't the guy who did it.
Yeah.
Fine if you have a like a legit story or a compelling story of what actually happened.
I would have been satisfied with almost anything else, like a drifter had come by and strangled her or whatever.
She
however
killed herself.
She died. Yeah,
her boyfriend
any
killed her.
Of it
something
any
no
of it.
Just these like two boys that you saw one time shopping in a convenience store that seemed sweet and you know, well, not even one time. You see them a few times, and like they kind of establish them as like nice boys.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, and it's kind of explained like kids being kids. You know how when you were fucking 16, you shot a girl in the shoulder and beat her to death in a ditch.
Why did they have so many? Why did they have a gun on them? Why did they have a hockey? I mean, I guess
well, they were screwing around with
hockey.
A gun by pointing at a cars and like.
I guess you're supposed to believe that they were so scared that they were going to get caught for shooting somebody non-fatally that obviously they decided to beat her to death.
Fine. But why were you standing in the middle of the street? And the other thing they said, I don't know if you caught this, is one of the kids was laying in the road.
Yeah.
That, why?
Like, yeah, they said that.
I guess just lying in the road.
Very casually, like, when the detectives broke the case, they go, like, oh, okay, so obviously one of them was lying in the road. Yeah,
well, the deaf kid was lying in the road to a car stopped, and then the other kid pointed, you know, boy stuff. Boston boy stuff. Yeah. Anyway, that explains away, you know, that part of the movie. It's like, what?
I really do feel like a shit when I hate a movie that everybody else really likes. Although I do think this is one of those ones that we watched a long time ago and everybody should revisit and go,
right, oh, like I think the we Goonies or something, which I've never seen.
I've never seen that either. People get so mad.
I bet it's not good now. Maybe when you were a kid it was great. Yeah. Maybe it's great now. Who fucking knows? But anyway, that was just one of our problems with it. So Kevin Bacon, who is the childhood friend of Sean Penn and who is a cop now, finds out that Sean Penn killed the molested guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Sean Penn goes, oh, you found my daughter's killers. You were just a little too late. That signals to Kevin Bacon that Sean Penn is a murderer, right?
The sun had come up. It's obvious he's been up all night. He's currently drinking a bottle of whiskey.
They both have been up all night. Kevin Bacon discovers the truth. Sean Penn's been killing somebody, right? So they're sitting together. Sean Penn takes his bottle of whiskey, walks down the street, and Kevin Bacon just pretty much is like, salutes him. Well, sorry you killed a guy.
Yeah.
I'm a police officer. Good night.
You kind of assume like he's letting him get a head start because he's his friend and eventually they will prosecute him or whatever. You should have
rolled credits right there. Been that should have been it.
That's it. That's
next
like,
scene is Laura Linney giving this bizarre
Weird Lady Macbeth speech.
Yeah.
Where she's like, well, you're a queen and I'm a king or vice versa, whatever the fuck. Everyone's weak and you're strong.
Yeah,
and that's why you had to kill
guy.
Your friend who was molested. Because he was weak and no one will understand.
Laura Linney's been
until
a mute up until this point.
Yeah.
Hasn't said a fucking word the whole movie.
She gives this goofy monologue in his ear. At one point he goes, please stop, and it doesn't seem like he's in pain, it seems like he's annoyed. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Well, that's early on, and then she pushes through and he's like, you're right,
and then
I'm
they
a king.
Fuck,
I'm a lion.
And
then he walks outside to what? Oh, she goes, you could rule this town. So the implication is that he's going to become like the godfather of Boston, like the king shit fucking mobster. And so he walks outside with the Savage Brothers, which are like his little fucking butt buddies. And then he's sitting on the stoop in like these goofy like glaucoma sunglasses.
Yeah, he looks like he just got LASIK eye surgery. These giant sunglasses he walks around wearing.
And the parade goes by and Kevin Bacon looks at him, gives him finger guns like, you're the man.
In the middle of a parade where everyone's dressed as fucking pilgrims.
Sean Penn just leans back on his like the door to his house with his arms folded like, yeah.
The wife of the molested guy is just kind of wandering the streets sobbing and Laura Linney looks at her like very satisfied. It's her cousin. Forgot about that. That's her fucking family. It's
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. And then it goes directed by Clint Eastwood. And then a part of me was kind of like, oh, that makes a little more sense. It does.
That was so weird. The finger guns really bugged me. It's like, hey, Sean Penn, you're cool. I'm not going to take you to jail. Case closed.
I can't think of a better example of a film where that was the ending. Him walking down the street. That was the ending.
Do you think the whole thing was like, that molested guy kind of bothered everybody anyway? He was just kind of hovering.
Oh, so like the whole town, the parade was actually for the molested guy's death?
Yeah, yeah. Because
they don't explain the date. Like, I assumed it was 4th of July, right? But they don't explain what the fuck was going on. It's just, I'm glad Danny's dead. Party because he was annoying.
Yeah, fucking weird.
It was bizarre.
I think, and I said this to you before, Irish people are so ready for our movie, man. Like, because the Italians got the Godfather and stuff. Like, every once in a while, we'll get like The Departed, which is like on a rewatch, honestly, kind of fucking corny.
Wait, okay, so are they just in competition with the Italians? Because I'm really restraining myself from asking about what the movies for other people are.
No, I mean, you know, the Irish are very understated.
Yeah.
And just like have a certain vibe to them that nobody's been able to pin down Exactly. And it's like a lot of drinking, depression, and kind of like reveling in this small town, like cold workaday,
yeah,
you know, like the workaday mobster, you know, cutting corners, fighting bare knuckle boxing bullshit. And it's like, we're waiting to see that represented on screen. I don't know if every ethnicity needs their movie, but they do. You know, everybody wants to see themselves on. That's what all representation is about.
Right,
you know? I'm finally seeing myself on the screen.
You guys got Angela's ashes. You're
good.
Oh,
fuck that shit.
Why are the Irish so goddamn miserable? The Irish are so repressed in a very
specific... The Irish are correct.
I like it. I admire this. I admire.
Everything is miserable.
I
right,
admire
Iggy?
Irish repression because, like, WASP repression is about presenting yourself in society, like not making a fuss or a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But Irish repression is like, if I don't acknowledge my emotions, they don't exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I won't have to feel if I pretend that I don't at all.
Right.
I don't know. I do.
No,
I actually like
you.
That about the Irish. They don't make a fuss at all about their trauma, which they do have a lot of.
Don't you think it's so like
per Angela's ashes?
Don't you think that aesthetic of violence and darkness and kind of like cold weather and sadness is ripe for a cinematic? You know, expression.
There's God, that has to have been
it
done.
Exists.
Yeah.
It exists.
So what? Obviously, Boondock Saints is like the mainstream,
dude,
like,
bro, shitty version.
I've never
but
seen
no,
that.
No, that's not even. That's
are
just
they?
Like, okay, they are Irish. That's
okay.
not even what I'm talking about. I'm,
but like, that's a Mystic River is like, are they even Irish? They're just Boston guys.
Yeah.
Like, Sean
it's
Penn's
implied.
Last name is like
I was about to say
almost,
Murphy.
No, I was going to say Murdoch or something, but then I've been drinking wine. I almost threw up in my mouth. So I don't know.
There's like references to Celtic crosses and shit like that.
Oh,
I think
you're
it's,
right.
I think it's Irish. You know, there's Swig and Jameson and stuff like that. What's the one that's just like completely heartbreaking with the other Affleck?
Casey Manchester
Affleck.
By the Sea.
Right. That to me has some elements of true Irish bullshit in it.
Do you think
know?
People hear a Boston accent and they assume the guy is Irish by default?
Yes.
Is it that like is it that much of an Irish community in Boston where most people
so.
Are?
I don't know. That's the whole deal, right?
I don't know.
When I went to Ireland, they talked about Boston.
Boston
like,
is like
relatives they have there, or if I ever go to America, that's where I know I can go.
Interesting.
You know, I know
okay.
they have a community there.
That makes sense. Because when I see Boston in movies and stuff, it just reminds me of Philly. There's such a like an Irish cop energy. The only difference in Philly is it's Irish-Italian cop energy.
Right. I think if you want to make a movie about Irish people, you just that's a signal. I think that's like a alerts people that that's what this is about.
So
you know?
The Departed,
and whatever, even if the cast isn't fully Irish,
mm-hmm.
or the characters, even if the characters aren't Irish, I'm talking about like an Irish vibe. I'm talking about like an aesthetic. You
know? You get that automatically.
Can't you just feel it? Isn't it just there for the picking? The Irish aesthetic.
Yeah,
it's muted. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, there's storytelling. There's
drunks.
There's drunks. There's fucking hockey.
Working
and,
class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the movie, though? What is the Godfather for Irish people?
I think there's been many attempts and some, you know, some that got close, but.
Yeah.
There's Manchester by the Sea feels very Irish to me.
That's so personal. That's such a personal story. I think when you showed me, you
brought
this
up. But
when
the Irish tell a story, it's horrible.
They're great storytellers.
But it's horrible. Like, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
of course.
Sad,
yeah, they love that shit.
Yeah.
Monument Ave, which you
Monument
were
Ave, which
yeah.
I love, which I've seen a million times.
Yeah.
It's just not a well-known film.
Right.
And then you get like The Departed or something, which like Didn't we try to watch The Departed recently, and it was a lot cornier than we...
It's definitely, it wasn't as bad as Mystic River, where you're like, ugh, this is not as good as people say it was. Well, I mean, I had obviously
it's
seen
it. It's an Italian
it.
Guy making a fucking Irish movie.
That's true. That is to be taken into account, but it's still Scorsese. I think
right,
it's still...
But Scorsese set the terms for Italian movies.
Yeah.
So you put the Rolling Stones in your fucking Goodfellas. You don't bring it over here to the... What are you going to play?
The Pogues or whatever?
Yeah. What's the
Dropkick
shit?
Murphys.
Yeah. Don't they play the Dropkick
yeah.
Murphys?
In like in the
lame,
DVD
dude.
Title. I remember falling asleep to that DVD and waking up to that goddamn fast bagpipe music or whatever it is, fiddle...
Right,
shit.
That's a fucking Italian yeah. guy trying to do some Irish
that
shit.
That is, yeah.
That's corn or
offensive.
Whatever.
Offensive. I mean...
it's Pogues would be awesome. You set it in Christmas and play the, you know, their big song.
It works, though. That song.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, I do actually...
It's okay.
I think The Departed is good. I think the only reason that
it's
people...
It's definitely good.
I think the only reason people criticize it kind of heavily is in the scope of, like, Martin Scorsese movies.
Right.
Not in the scope of... all movies.
No. I like The Departed a lot.
I think when that rat runs across the screen at the end, you're like, okay, thank you, Martin, for
right.
holding my hand through this. Did you see what I did there? It's a rat. It's a rat. They're all rats.
But doesn't it feel a little bit like, okay, Goodfellas, but now they're fucking Irish guys.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, maybe.
Could you imagine?
Also, he loves to do this thing with like...
Slow it down a little bit.
Oh my God, I took a sip of wine and I thought you were telling me. I was like, oh, did you see my face?
Yes, I did.
I was like,
she took a swing at me. But you know what I mean? Like, slow the movie down. Like, have some quiet walks and some wide shots. And
aren't
some,
there? Or are
you
there
know,
not?
Some trying to put the key into the car door for a while. Just like some
yeah.
leaves falling.
Well,
that's Irishness. That's the fucking ruminating. Italian people are these, like... operatic,
yeah,
fast cuts, crazy lives, big
yeah.
big suits, you know, we
Italians
don't need that.
Are emotional and like sort of peacocky, and the Irish are poets. Mm. Whether even
sad sacks,
yeah, they're sad sacks
in a specific way, though. It's
yeah.
not your regular depression.
Yeah,
it's specific. It's a lifestyle.
I think what I was saying before about the repression is almost ties back to what we were talking about with narcissism, where self-deprecation versus self-loathing, where like WASP repression is almost fake to pretend that they're like they know how to act properly in society, but Irish repression is just like not caring about yourself enough to deal with your own emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm not important. Why would I delve into my psyche? They even say that in The Departed. The Irish are impervious to psychoanalysis.
Right. Yeah.
What, they don't have
Which I like. I really like that. And I like that as like, because I just feel like that would translate so completely into The Fighter. That's a good Irish movie.
Get off That's my fucking
one.
Porch, you piece
you
of shit.
Firefighter.
No, that one's The Departed.
That was The Departed.
Fuck you, fucking firefighter. No, in The Fighter, which is a perfect, although Dickie and whatever, what's their last name? Are they Irish or
yes.
are they just from Boston?
No, their last name is like Mickey McFucking Guinness or whatever.
McFucking Guinness. Okay, yeah. Amy Adams is great. Conan O'Brien's giant sister is great.
Mickey Ward.
He
wears the Irish flag on
okay.
his shorts when he fights, you know?
Yeah.
He's just a freckly mess. Like the real guy is just like a pink... He looks like a goddamn thumb, and he loses. You know,
yes.
it's all that. It's
His
everything.
Family is garbage.
Yeah.
They're not even... They're manipulative and cruel.
Goddamn, that movie's so good.
That is...
That's Irishness to me.
That is like the quintessential Irish guy movie that I don't think people own enough. As
right.
much as Boondock Saints, because you're not a cool guy with a gun, I guess. You're a loser? I don't know.
Yeah,
not
Boondock
that,
Saints is more like...
I've never
that's
seen
the,
Boondock
the Irish,
Saints.
Irish people don't claim Boondock Saints. That's more like college, you know? It's
yeah.
next to the poster of the two girls in
Scarface.
Underwear making out, and then like Pulp Fiction. It's not... It's
yeah.
fucking... Yeah, it's
The
it's
two
shit.
Girls with like beer pong they're like leaning over a beer pong table,
right,
and it says like house rules, you have to fuck my butt. Whatever the house rules are.
Yeah, that movie's like some guy was watching a bunch of Tarantino films and he was like, I can write a movie with the N-word in it. And then the guys will be like me because I'm from fucking Boston. We were talking about this the other night, you and I, but there is an excellent documentary where you, which you can't find anywhere, called Overnight, about the guy who wrote Boondock Saints, and he's just the biggest piece of shit that ever fucking lived. And he was just this alcoholic in Boston who drank at this bar all day, and his script, Boondock Saints, for whatever fucking reason, became like the most coveted screenplay in Hollywood, and people would, Mark Wahlberg would come and hang out with him and stuff and be like, let me make this movie. It's all in this documentary. Harvey Weinstein came to the bar where he drinks and was like, hey, I just bought this bar for you, let me make this movie. And he was like, all right, fine, fuck it.
If Harvey Weinstein walked into the bar you're in and said, hey, I just bought this bar for you, would you be excited, or would you be like, do I have to like manage this bar now? What are the legal implications here?
Question,
do I have to hire a staff and pay taxes? I
don't.
I didn't
have to suck your dick.
I didn't ask you to do any of this. You could have just bought the film, you fucking weirdo.
Well, this guy was he liked keeping everybody like on the line, you know, like stringing people along. But anyway, then everything falls apart because this guy's just so hard to work with. And Harvey Weinstein is the hero of this film and blacklists this guy. And it's like, we're not making your movie at all.
It's so funny. This guy is so bad, he makes Harvey Weinstein look like calm and reasonable.
Well, it's interesting because the movie came out years and years and years ago, the documentary, and it really, you know how they talk about how Harvey Weinstein was like a mob boss and that's why nobody could get at him, and while he was able to get away with all this molestation and stuff?
Yeah.
You really see it in this movie. Like, he says, nobody's making this fucking movie. And Hollywood listened. And Troy, the guy who wrote Boondock Saints, is like calling everybody up like, hey, Harvey Weinstein's not going to make my movie. Do you want to make my movie? And they're like, no, nobody's touching you now. You've been, you know,
so
blacklisted.
I mean, is this a spoiler for the movie? How did he end up getting it made?
He made it himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a genius. We should watch it. I really want to see it.
I would love to watch that documentary.
Never seen it. I don't know about the... I can't find the documentary, but Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints? No.
Yeah, come on. We'll pour ourselves a glass of whatever's left, and then we'll just make fun of it the whole time.
Okay, I guess so. I've never been inclined. It seemed bad because of seeing it.
I haven't seen it
many
since I was like fucking
dorm room walls
17 or something.
Right. All right. I'll give it a shot. I enjoy watching.
The N-word's in it.
Okay. Well.
Then you'll do it.
You know. Speaking of the N-word in film, I just started watching Emily in Paris.
Why?
And.
And I told you, if I told you once, I've told you a million times, what? It's Emily in Paris.
It's Emily in Paris. Just kidding. They don't say the N-word in it. As far as I've gotten, I'm only 4 episodes in. The only reason I wanted to bring it up is because Ian's doing jerk-off motions.
You know why.
Over, because a woman is speaking.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, dude. You know.
I wanted to bring it up because whenever you're not home, I'm always in the mood to watch some like trash, preferably like female propaganda trash that's like just really bad. Like, fight song, take back my life song. Exactly that. And so I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to watch Emily in Paris. I'm going to watch this garbage and it's going to be so fucking good with how fucking bad it is. But here's the thing. Emily in Paris is exactly what you would assume. It's like she's a hardworking young millennial gal and she gets an opportunity to go off to Paris and she likes fashion for some reason and she's like good at the internet and that's annoying. Mm-hmm. Everything about her is annoying. Her overeagerness, her like saccharine sweet giant smile with no real personality behind it. All of that's awful, but everyone in Paris fucking hates her guts and they treat her like shit. And it's hard when you assume that the writers want you to love Emily, you don't like the show. Yeah. But when you have one character absolutely loathed by the rest of the cast, and they all point out how obnoxious she is and what her flaws are, and they get into debates about her terrible
personality. So it's like personality. Self-aware.
Seems like
so
it.
So it's great?
No.
So you would recommend this?
No, it's still a bad show. But I was pleasantly surprised by, you know, it's not just like, she people hate her and it's not her fault.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. She is in the wrong. She is annoying. And that is acknowledged in the show.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to give them credit for that at the very least. There's one episode where they, there's like this commercial shoot and this model is walking down the street in Paris fully nude and all these men are like turning their heads and Emily is like, this is actually really problematic because you're objectifying women and because of the male gaze, and all the French people are smoking their cigarettes and they're like, you don't understand, like, male, this is such an American sensibility. And,
yeah.
And she's like, a woman chimes in is like, have you ever thought that the woman is aware of the male gaze and enjoys being adored? And she's like, I'm just saying it might offend people in America. And there's like an actual back and forth where they tell her she's annoying and she's an idiot and they call That's her cool. the morality police. And
there's a guy who wrote a book called Sex at Dawn, Christopher or something. And
yeah.
I heard him in an interview talk about, he lived in Spain for a long time. Mm-hmm. He got married there and then he moved to LA to publish this book. And he said he found his wife crying one day and he was like, what's going on? And she's like, I'm ugly. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, when I walk down the street, I've walked down the street for like, months now. Nobody yeah. turns their head. Nobody says anything to me. Nobody. And because she's used to living in Spain where that's like commonplace.
Oh, where they go in yeah. your face.
All
they
that,
do.
You know?
Yes, Iggy.
All on. We're saying is we're pro catcalling at this point.
I really appreciate a dialogue where you acknowledge that women understand they aren't victims of the male gaze. They understand their own sexual power
yeah.
and they embrace it.
Well, there's a real disconnect there because people here in this country is they embrace their bodies and obsess over their own looks and stuff, and then at the same time push people away to comment on their bodies.
Yeah, it There's is a this, strange like, paradox.
It all feeds back into anxiety and depression, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I value my body and that's how I define myself by my youth and you know, how powerful I am to be in this skin, and then I'm not at the same time telling everybody else they're not allowed to tell me that. I don't know. It's a weird...
It
you're at war with yourself all the
you
time.
You are. It is confusing, and I think that's why a lot of people are unhappy with themselves.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, they're not getting catcalled.
Honestly?
Truthfully? When I lived in Harlem, I always used to say catcalling works up there, man. They're into it. Guy rides real slow in his car next to a lady, starts yelling about her ass.
Yeah.
I've seen it a million times.
Yeah, but you've seen it work like 100% where she like leaves with the guy, right?
Yes.
That's wild.
Because there is some of that. I mean, that like the what you're talking about with this show.
I mean, that feels like, yeah, it feels like a real acceptance of like instinctual male-female dynamics where it's like...
Right. And it speaks to the isolation of everybody that we don't interact with each other. So it's like, if you're a person who doesn't... Like, when you walk down the street, it's straight ahead and you don't talk to anybody and everything's through your phone and stuff. And if somebody does comment on anything you're doing, that I could see how that's scary.
Yeah.
Nobody should be talking to me. What the fuck is this? And like, to be sexualizing me on top of it, I get it.
Right.
And like, obviously sometimes it's just like straight up scary and offensive.
Yeah.
Something we never talk about is how it's a cultural idea, you know? Like, I think if you grew up in a community where nobody catcalled you, then when it happens, it's scary.
Are you saying it's racist to be anti-catcalling?
Hell yeah. That's the conversation y'all ain't ready for yet.
Don't do that.
Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I can see how it's shitty. And I mean, when I do it, it's cool. But all right.
Here's my final take.
No more final takes.
Thoughts.
No more takes.
Whatever Bill Maher does, he do final thoughts.
No, here's the Springer.
Here's the thing. What does Bill Maher say? Here's the
he does new rules.
New rules. Don't talk about catcalling in your stand-up comedy sets. But also, I understand that catcalling when you're by yourself on a street is kind of scary.
It is catcalling season.
It is always catcalling season.
All right, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Just to clarify a few things, if you want hot sauce, you got to be a member of the Patreon, okay? We're not giving it to people who just listen to the free episodes because we want to offer an incentive to pay us money. So if you want some hot sauce, go over to patreon.com/suicidepact, sign up. We're going to be doing we do bonus episodes, but also we're going to be doing other weird merch stuff in the future. I'm going to have to put a cap on how many people get hot sauce because we're starting to run out. But if you do it now, you'll be able to get some and all that extra shit. So that's
it. And can I say something?
I wish you wouldn't.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.